The United Nations Climate Change Conference started today in Copenhagen, Denmark, where representatives from nearly 200 countries will spend the next 10 days negotiating a potential climate change treaty. President Obama plans to go to the talks next week. But world leaders aren't the only people at Copenhagen. Alaskans are attending, even if they don't have an official seat at the negotiating table. APRN's Libby Casey reports.
The U.S. State Department invited Alaska's Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner to speak in Copenhagen next week. Larry Hartig will talk about how Alaska is adapting to the impacts of climate change. Hartig hopes his audience will be people from around the world and senior U.S. officials, including members of President Obama's cabinet.
What I plan to do is first talk a bit about the physical evidence we're seeing in Alaska of warming and thawing, and how that's impacting us, you know, in terms of our coastal communities, particularly effects on infrastructure, and then talk about how the federal, state, tribal, and local entities are working together to try to address the needs associated with these impacts.
Hartig says he also hopes to learn more about what other Arctic nations are doing to survive and how they're working with local indigenous communities. Just how indigenous people are represented in Copenhagen is a point of concern for some. Alaska Native leader Clarence Alexander, the chair of the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council, will speak next week about what climate change means for his community. But giving a speech is different than being a negotiating party, says Patricia Cochran, chairwoman of the Indigenous Peoples Global Summit on Climate Change and director of the Alaska Native Science Commission. She tried to get on the U.S. delegation, but wasn't successful. Cochran still went to Copenhagen and says many indigenous groups will participate in work sessions and give guidance, even if they don't have a seat at the table.
It's quite difficult to have meaningful dialogue, and we rely on a lot of our partners to work with us. We do have an international Indigenous Peoples Forum on climate change, and that's sort of the group that we've been utilizing to be our activity around trying to get our Indigenous issues incorporated into the document.
Cochran says besides the formal talks, there are a slew of other events going on that provide chances to network and meet with allies from around the world.
That really is a strength that we have. Probably one of the best things that we see going on at the meetings in Copenhagen is that it's really 2 weeks of meeting with a lot of various partners and potential partners.
It's not yet known what, if any, international agreements will come out of Copenhagen. Senator Lisa Murkowski says other countries are expecting too much from the U.S.
They're kind of looking at us and saying, well, if only the United States would step out and lead, this would all be easy. I disagree that this is going to be easy. It's not just the United States. There are other nations, of course, that are equally influential in the sense that they need to be participants in this discussion, and I think they recognize it as well.
Murkowski says President Obama needs to be careful and not promise too much to the international community because it could create conflict with Congress back home. But Senator Mark Begich says he'd like to see more of an emissions reduction than the president has pledged, even though Begich admits there is much work to be done in the U.S. Senate, which has not yet passed a climate bill.
Copenhagen sets the framework. I think the president will present his view as well as what he hopes that this country can move toward, and I think it will be practical and an approach that we're going to obviously look at, but the real results are going to happen in the Senate chambers because we're going to have to put ideas into reality. And that's where, you know, the hard work really will be taking place.
Begich says the U.S. delegation needs to make sure other countries don't put up trade barriers that hurt the American economy. But he believes ultimately alternative energy will mean more jobs in Alaska and around the world. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.